Welcome to the Technology Lab, presented by CPA Practice Advisor, with your hosts, Randy Johnston and Brian Tankersley.
I'm Randy Johnston, along with Brian Tankersley. Brian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Brian Tankersley. I've been in the profession since the early 90s, have been doing accounting technology since the late 90s on a professional basis. I've written a few hundred product reviews, and I've spoken in 48 states talking about accounting technology to CPAs.
And I am from Hutchinson, Kansas. I am so pleased to spend time with you today. I have been on the top 100 list since 2004, the top 25 list since 2011. I love to spend time in technology and with my family as well. I'm fortunate enough to have founded Network Management Group, which is a managed service provider, providing services from Boston to Honolulu. And my K2 business is how I met Brian, and it is how we've probably met many of you, producing CPE and PD in the US and Canada. We're so pleased to spend time with you on today's Technology Lab. Good day. Welcome to this session of the Technology Lab. I'm Randy Johnston, along with my co-host, Brian Tankersley. And this is the second part of a conversation about the accounting influencer meeting that both Brian and I attended recently. Now, this particular event was sponsored by CPA Practice Advisor, and it gathered a group of people from the 40 under 40 group and then other long-term influencers in the profession. Further, there were sponsored sessions by four different providers to the profession, including ADP and Corpay One and Avalara and Zoho. And so we will talk a little bit about those particular sessions where it's appropriate here. But again, we would direct you to our separate podcasts on those various vendor products. This is mainly about what is going on in the profession along the way. And in our first session, we had discussed profession itself and what was happening with conferences and online events. And, you know, I think, Brian, if it makes sense to you, I'd like to pick up with, you know, a little bit of discussion about client relationships and how the client relationships will be working into the future. And so attendees in the sessions concluded that services may well be more virtual. Now, again, this wasn't a uniform or 100% view of the world, but they thought that the days of having to have face-to-face meetings with the clients and so forth were declining. I wasn't sure that that was congruent with the idea of relationships. And so part of the issue was how to build the relationships virtually and what do clients look like. So what did you hear and what did you observe in this client relationship portion of the meetings, Brian?
Well, I think you got to remember that the magazine used to be the CPA Technology Advisor years ago. And so as a result, I think the desire is there to do a lot of this stuff virtually. And since many of the attendees were consultants, they are used to working virtual. But I think the desire for adoption among this group who wants to get out of airports is probably higher than the desire of clients to not speak face-to-face. Because let's be honest here, there are some meetings that just need to happen on a face-to-face basis. I think that when you start dealing with people's money, I think there is, even though virtual will be part of it, I don't think there's going to be a substitute for the face-to-face meeting and the being able to trust somebody and having the one throat to choke, you know, having, you know, if there's a problem and having that one person to go get and to go say, hey, I need you to make this right. That local proximity, I think, is critical.
Yeah, and I would go even further along this line of thinking. I think the desire might be there among the consultants, but the fact of the matter is, so many of the firms are trying to run these national practices, if you will. Clients, at least the ones that I talk to around me, basically have a desire to be able to, you know, pick up the phone or go see the accountant to discuss a few confidential items. And like you said, there's an awful lot you learn from body language and so forth. So this idea of 100% virtual, there are firms that are very successful doing it that way. but I think it also leads to more commoditization as opposed to more value add.
Yeah, I just don't think that your average business owner is going to be allow themselves to be sold by somebody that they can't reach out and touch and talk to face to face. I maybe I'm showing my age here, but I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you know, another claim which I smiled at was the claim that we should charge clients as much as we can get out of them. And, if we're charging low rates, that we're probably competing unwisely. And as I was listening to that unfold, I'm thinking, there's a lot of clients that don't have an objection to professional fees. But, if the value of the fees just don't feel right, it just seems usury, if you will. And, the idea here is treating people fairly. And so forth. And that seemed to be getting lost along the conversation because, I don't know about you, but for me, I like to do business with people locally as much as I can, and I want them to make a fair rate. In fact, I'm even prepared to pay more to do some of that business locally, but I don't want to get ripped off either. And I was hearing it is, hey, we ought to strategize to rip off clients as much as we can. And I just categorically disagreed with that view of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some people that are having that strategy, but I think it is a strategy. And the problem is that when times are good, people will be willing to pay that. And when they're bad, they'll remember that you ripped their head off and you'll find yourself in a world of hurt.
And, the other side of it is we actually don't want accounting professionals to be in the commodity business. That's probably also poorly served because, it's a stressful, time-constrained business if you do it that way. However, you can be very optimized in your workflows and have that as your business model too. So the fact of the matter is we're really talking about what's the business model that works for your firm and what's the business model that applies to your clients and what do your clients look like today and what should they look like tomorrow? And, those are all moving parts that only you can determine. And I can't think that many consultants can give you a lot of great advice on that, probably including us, Brian.
Well, I think we just have to be very careful here because there are a lot of accountants that don't bill what they're worth. And I think absolutely that you ought to look at your billing, how you're billing and how you're pricing. Maybe you want to look at a Michelle Golden pricing pricing event or something like that. I think Sandy Levia does those too.
And Geraldine Carter does those as well.
Yeah. I don't doubt that people need to look at things, but I think we have to be very careful as a profession that if we want to retain trust, it has to be a win-win both ways all the time. And that, in my mind, that may mean that I bill 90% of what I should instead of 100%. And I'm glad to take the 10% haircut to have that relationship with that client.
Yeah. So, another one of the attendees, though, actually kind of said both things on this, that right now many firms are in a battle of survival of the fittest. That, you have to package properly, but you can't be greedy. Now, that was kind of an interesting, mix of terms, if you will. And then went on to say that you need to invest in your people and your team and become more specialized and have a willingness to change. So those observations, I thought, made good sense. And it seemed to me that you really have to focus on your firm's culture and what you want it to be like for your clients. And so it's a lot of moving parts here. And I don't think anybody has the magic silver bullet to solve this problem yet.
I agree. I think you do need to be vertical before you get to, I think being vertical will help you significantly on your margins. I look at what Darren's Rootworks firm can do with dental offices. And there are things they can do that nobody else can do. And that's worth value. but I think we have to be very careful here that we don't take advantage of that trusted relationship or we won't have it.
Yeah, but even some of those types of models become too cookie cutter. And there was another comment that was made is about, you know, we want to do things the same way and we're just going to market our services. And maybe that works in small markets, but I don't think that actually works nationally very well because, again, it commoditizes it over time. You know, there was another session about content. And remember that a lot of these influencers write content. And I did mention that in our first episode on this topic. But I was amazed at how many of the influencers actually were not writing their own content. And that's not to say that's right or wrong. It's just not what we tend to do. And that the fact of the matter is that in many cases, they were subcontracting for content and not even reading their content. In other words, not reviewing it and just publishing it. Well, you know, that to me seems to be a problem. So I know you and I, when we're doing these technology lab sessions, we're trying to be thoughtful about what a product does. Today, it happens to be a little bit different where we're talking about, you know, the culture of the firm, but I'm trying to picture how I would interact with the clients, how it would affect my team members, and then how it would flow bottom line dollars to the partners.
I don't think you can outsource your research on this kind of stuff.
Well, so then the next little piece, I just want to call out that I thought it was fascinating how Corpay One had been thoughtful about their model, how it would affect client operations and firm operations. And I thought that Bob Lewis did a nice job of setting up that during the session. And we encourage you to, again, look at Corpay One. You know, when we look at the, big public held companies of ADP and of Avalara, each of them were very focused around a couple of three topic areas. You'll see that, I think, in their marketing as the year goes on. On the other hand, the Zoho team had a quite different approach in the way they were talking about the Zoho One platform and how it would work across accounting firms as well. And, you know, one of the things to keep in mind is if you're going to verticalize, can you use a platform like a Zoho One to verticalize with? Now, I've been working on a term called PROP, for process resource operation planning. In other words, in our accounting software world, the big guys, ERP, down to the little guys, the entry level, what we've been noticing is that more and more products are becoming more feature complete and they fit in maybe tier four. So they're above entry level, but they have a lot of features in them. And included in that is Zoho, but also other products like Accounting Suite fits there. And Zoho, you know, obviously is in this mix. Spire is another one that we have, talked about in the past as well. But I think that you're going to see a lot more of the specialized delivery. And that really got us over into the four new specialties for the profession, for the CPA exam that are coming up here in a couple of 3 years. But data analytics being one of those, and how Zoho now had enough data analytics that they could effectively compete with Power BI. But I just want to call some of those things out because many of our listeners aren't using Power BI. They're not using any of these more sophisticated analytics tools in their practices. And I think that's coming of age.
Yeah, I think the need to manage by metrics is critical. And we're seeing more and more of the venture capital type folks are wanting to see real-time metrics and control when you take draws on things. We're seeing that, I know, with a lot of the startup funded organizations. And one has to believe, based on the people that I've talked to that have been acquired by private equity, they're seeing similar type trends in private equity run organizations. You know, I think we just have to remember that just because we've gotten at a place and we've gotten comfortable doesn't mean the marketplace has.
Yeah, hey, that's a good observation, Brian. Well, you know, the closing topic of the two-day period was data security. Now, I know, Brian, you're all over data security topics on a regular basis, but I was interested to see the level of data security expertise among the influencers. And, you know, you and I tend to be a little more technical than some, and I don't hold that against or for anybody here. But fundamentals of data security are not well understood by the consultants to the profession. That's my one takeaway on that. And a lot of consultants are basically say, throw it in the cloud and all your security problems go away. And, you know, that to I knew you'd like my statement on that, but that's basically what I heard. And by the way, you know, it's a tough battle to fight right now, whether you're premise-based, completely cloud-based, some sort of hybrid model-based, the bad actors continue to get better faster than we can defend it or your IT provider can defend it. And even simplistic or straightforward tools like endpoint security and many of the other concepts were not well understood at all. Yet the thinking was, oh, if I've got multi-factor authentication, I've got all I need, which is also so wrong at this point in time.
I think that people underestimate any security issues in the profession at their own peril. Because there are, you know, Brian Krebs, who's a noted author and speaker on the subject of serious heavy-duty data security hacking, that kind of stuff. Krebs has said for years that there are organized criminal gangs going after accounting firms. The volume of good phishing attacks I get goes up every year, and they get better and better every year. And if you're not training your people with something like Know Before or some other kind of again, user training tool to help teach people how to recognize phishing attacks and recognize compromise, you know, potential identity compromise attacks, then I think you're in for a bad ride of road.
Well, ransomware, malware attacks are, you know, scaling up. They're clearly retaliatory right now as well. Not to mention a lot of the activity around blockchain, cryptocurrency, you know, theft and so forth. I mean, so we will do other lab sessions on that particular topic. But I hope by listening to Brian and I just reflect on what we learned over a couple of days of listening to other influencers and contributing to them as well, that you might get the insights that only a relatively few had gotten. And maybe this will help you in your own thinking about your practice and how you handle clients. So Brian, any parting thoughts before we sign off for today?
You know, I think it was a good use of time to spend a couple of days on this. And I always learn from the perspectives on other people. And I hope the magazine will continue this because I think it's helpful for the consultants and thought leaders in the profession to network with each other and understand the whys behind the what's they're saying so that we can all figure out what our spaces are.
Well, thank you for listening to Brian and I today. We look forward to speaking with you again in a future technology lab. All the best.
Thank you for sharing your time with us. We'll be back next week with a new edition of the Technology Lab, brought to you by CPA Practice Advisor.